audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
The story.
Byron had been unwell for a little while, and so had been through a series of checkups and that sort of thing. And the specialist diagnosed Byron within minutes, really, and said, you've got a cancer that is growing in your throat. And from there, we found out that it was stage 4, inoperable. And so the journey began.
G'day, I'm Jimmy Colfax. Welcome to The Story. Well, today we're going to hear how Pastors Byron and Anne Graham have gone through their share of health challenges in life, with Byron in particular having had several close calls with death. As a matter of fact, they got the bad news that Anne's mother was diagnosed with cancer at the same time Byron was in the hospital being treated for cancer. But through it all, God has been working in their lives and helping them to overcome. Byron and Anne are chatting with Shelley Scowen.
Tell us about the challenges that you faced in your family growing up.
Yes, well, it was a challenging upbringing in the sense that both of my parents were alcoholics, and tragically they died that way in age 55 and 52.
Wow.
So they died young of that disease. And growing up in that household, really poor, we just basically dragged ourselves up. And then, of course, you follow the same pattern. And it wasn't long, but at a young age, I actually, got into the alcohol myself, and it grabbed a hold of my life.
Mm. So how did you get out of it then?
Well, it was when we found Jesus Christ. I wasn't even looking for God at all, but a mate of mine became a Christian. And, of course, he told me all about God, and I really wasn't interested. I was happy living that lifestyle. But I thought if I said that prayer, then I could get him off my back and tell him that it didn't work and it's good for him, but, I don't need it. And so one Saturday morning in my house, I just said, God, if you're real, you show me, and I'm in 100%. And within a very short period of time, a matter of days, the alcohol was just taken out of my body. I couldn't drink anymore. I could drink anything else but alcohol.
Wow.
And my body would convulse and vibrate, and the pain was so bad because I kept trying to drink because I didn't want to stop. But the pain was so bad that I ended up giving up, and I thought, well, there must be something in this Christian thing.
Wow. So I guess that's something that you recommend to other people then that are still on that journey towards Christ. You recommend for them to just call out to God and make himself real to them?
Absolutely. It worked for me. I would never have accepted Jesus Christ if he hadn't have demonstrated who he was. I mean, I'd seen religion. I'd seen the bad side of religion, and that wasn't attractive at all.
Mm.
But when I found Jesus Christ, I mean, when he touched my life so powerfully, how could I deny it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's verses in the Bible that say, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You know, seek God and he will make himself known. So it literally is that simple. Hey, praying a prayer, and even the likes of, what you did was almost a bit of a skeptical thing. Hey, God, if you're out there, then prove yourself. And God did.
Yeah, well, I was just trying to get my friend off my back.
Mm.
He kept witnessing to me all the time and drove me crazy. I thought this will just get him off my back, but it turned out to actually be the linchpin that turned my whole life and family and generations around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, here you are now serving as the senior pastor of a major church on the Gold Coast and have been doing so for over 20 years. At what point did you decide to go to Bible college then?
Well, I was only a believer for probably 8 months, and I think that next Sunday we woke up and I said, Nan, I said, I think we're Christians now. We probably should find a church. And so we started that church journey, which was incredibly new to us. And I was sitting in a meeting one night. I was living in Western Australia, actually in Perth. We'd sold our house at Alexandra Hills and moved over to Perth. I was working over there earning big money up in Geraldton. And And I flew back home to empty the house out. We'd sold it. And I sat at a meeting in a church service one Sunday night, and I actually heard an audible voice for the first time in my life. It shocked me. And it was simply the voice that said, "I want you to go to college."
Mm.
And I thought there was somebody else talking to me, or the preacher was talking to me, or someone, but it was actually the voice of God.
Wow. So it doesn't get a whole lot more clear than that. You knew that that was definitely God's direction.
Yes, but it was a long time after that before I actually entered the ministry.
Really? Why is that? Yeah. Were you purposely running, or was it just kind of circumstance?
No. I didn't know a lot about it. I went to Bible college. But when I came out, I just knew that I wanted to do what God wanted. I just didn't want to do something and race ahead and do something and do it in my strength.
Yeah.
And so we were offered churches. Ann and I were offered churches throughout the state, you know, to go and pastor them. But we just didn't feel God was in that. And so we just waited and waited. And I think God had a lot of work to do in my life to prepare me for that next stage.
Mm. Well, there you are, pastoring away, and it's obviously has been growing and growing and growing. But maybe, Anne, this is where you might be able to take over some of this story, because 2008 hit, and there was one day in particular that was pretty devastating for the whole family, but for you personally, it was a full-on day. Tell us about that one day.
Well, it was a day like no other. It was 2008, and Byron had been unwell for a little while and so had been through a series of checkups and that sort of thing, been in India, and rang me from India and just said, "Something's not right, and when I get back from India, I need to see somebody because there's clearly something going on in my throat." So I made an appointment. He flew in from India that same day, got off the plane, went straight to our GP. GP organised a specialist appointment the very next day. And really then the process started from there. The specialist decided that he would need a biopsy. And the specialist diagnosed Byron within minutes, really, and said, "You've got a cancer that is growing in your throat." And so a biopsy was organised, and from there we found out that it was stage four inoperable cancer growing in his throat. And so the journey began from there, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us more about this stage four then. If it's inoperable, are there still treatment options?
Well, there was, and the treatment option for Byron was chemotherapy, radiation, and we were warned that it was going to be of the most severe kind. The types of drugs that they wanted to use on him to save his life, we were told that were some of the most potent on the planet.
Wow.
And that some people did not survive the treatment. And so we knew that we were in for a really rough ride. We knew that our lives would be altered somewhat. And that day that he got the diagnosis, we got in the car, and it was, I don't think we said too much to each other driving away from the doctor's appointment. It was fairly silent in the car, really. I think you don't really know what to think, what to feel, what life is about to look like. You have no idea what the journey would bring to you. We just knew, in my head I was thinking, I need to call a family meeting, let all our kids know. We've got three children, son and two daughters. So that was on my mind. And then I knew that I would have to contact our church leadership team, our board, and which all of that was organised. And then I knew with Sunday approaching that we would tell the church. And so, you know, the process began, not to mention the fact that we were getting ourselves ready for all of the hospital appointments, the doctor's appointments, and everything that comes with these massive times in somebody's life. We had no idea. I mean, we've both got an incredible amount of respect for people who go through these kinds of stories.
Yeah.
It is a very big journey, and it's life altering. But on the same day, Byron was ordered to have a biopsy done at one of our Gold Coast hospitals, and that was done on a Monday. And when they were wheeling him out of the operating room where they'd taken a biopsy, and the reason for that was to determine what type of cancer it was and what stage it was. And just as his gurney was going past me in the hospital corridor with him semi-conscious because they'd given him some mild sedatives to do a biopsy, my mobile phone rang, and it was my sister on the end of the phone telling me that our mother had been diagnosed with mouth, tongue, jaw, and throat cancer at exactly the same time.
Wow.
And so I said to my sister, look, just give me a few minutes because I wanted to see where they were taking Byron and what room they were setting him up in. So I hung up for my sister, followed them down the corridor, watched to see what room he was going in, and they were getting him settled. And then I went downstairs to ring my sister to find out what was happening with our mother. So she was going through aggressive cancer as well. So she was in a Brisbane hospital, and Byron was in a Gold Coast hospital.
You're listening to The Story. Today, Shelley Scowen is chatting with Pastors Byron and Anne Graham from the Gold Coast. And as we just heard, things were pretty full on for Anne, as within a day or two, she faced the very real possibility of losing both her husband and her mother to cancer. We'll find out what happens next when we return.
If this program has highlighted something you'd like prayer for, we'd love to pray for you. Call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. It's a free call. Or text 0401 132 888.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Colfax, and this is The Story. We're continuing with Shelley Scowen chatting with Pastors Byron and Anne Graham from the Gold Coast. Before the break, we heard how Anne was facing the very real possibility of losing both her husband and her mother to cancer. Now we're going to find out the impact this was having on Anne.
It's very difficult to explain how you felt in a moment like that. I think I just moved into action mode to some degree. It was like, what do we need to do next? Whatever we need to do, you just do it. And I don't know whether I gave a lot of thought to what that looks like. It was just, so much happens, but life becomes so full at that time because there's a lot of appointments set up for you. You've got to see a panel of doctors. You've got to go to different hospitals for different kinds of tests. And for me, I was running between Brisbane City through to Gold Coast and back again. So the M1 highway was just, I spent loads of time in a car.
Yes, you would have.
And there's a whole, it's not a case of just being diagnosed and then that's it. There's a lot of appointments that you have to go to, a lot of different scans and tests, and sometimes that can be at multiple hospitals, not just one place.
And so, is that even before you start treatment?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, that's before you start treatment. And, of course, in amongst all of this, getting ready to let our family know and our church team as well and our church. So there was a lot going on. So you move into a very, very busy time of life.
Yeah, and your very, very busy and stressful time of life was made even more complicated through a number of factors. One of those being you were still the senior pastors of the church, and
yes.
So I believe you, Annie, pretty much kept the place running.
Yes, I did. I was. I showed up, I think, almost every Sunday, and I believe I preached many of those Sundays. And decided not to be absent from the church, decided that I would be very visible. And we'd made a faith stand, you know, we'd made a real stand that Byron would come through this. And so to me, Sunday services were a real opportunity to just enter into a time of worship with church family. And knowing that this journey is not done alone, but we do it together.
Mm.
And so not only did you have the strength and companionship and the faith of your children, but also your church family as well. So it's amazing. I would get to church on a Sunday and the worship songs that we can sing with such familiarity took on a whole different meaning.
Yes.
And one of those worship songs, I don't know whether you're familiar with it, but it's that song that says the name above all names. That song became almost an anthem to me because I thought there is a name that is greater than the name of cancer.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. One of the more down-to-earth aspects of your busyness as well was that 2 weeks before Byron's diagnosis, you had signed a contract on building a house.
Yeah, we did. We signed a building contract. We had owned some land for a while, and so I was committed also to building a house, and so I did that from start to finish.
How on earth did you survive this period?
It was insane. It was absolutely insane. I can remember times Byron would be in intensive care and I'd get a message on my phone from a plumber or an electrician or somebody wanting me to make a decision on where to put a PowerPoint. And I thought, if only you knew where I was right now, I'd be, you know, in an intensive care ward and I'm being asked to choose where a PowerPoint is going. It just seemed to be like extremes, you know, you were just dealing with extremes all the time. But in one sense too, it was therapeutic because I could leave an intensive care ward where Byron was fighting for life and go and do something that was just not really that important. But it almost like caused me to change pace a little bit and to just give me something else to focus on other than hospital.
Mm, yes, that's true. In some ways, it was a blessing in disguise. Hey?
Yeah.
Never thought that choosing paint colours could be so therapeutic.
It lightened, you know, it lightened a very heavy scene that we were in at that time.
Yeah. Byron, let's come back to you. Anne mentioned earlier that you took a very strong faith stand. Was that something that you felt prompted to do or where was your faith in all of this?
You know, my faith, I don't think was the foundation stone of it. There were times when I thought, well, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the end for me. And there were other times where I felt, you know, no, I'm going to fight this. And so there were hills and valleys of emotions that went on. But the thing that helped me the most was my kids and, of course, Anne. They had no doubt. And when I saw the fact that they were so adamant about the fact that I was going to survive, I actually started to believe it myself. They were so positive and they were so, you know, faith-filled that I thought, well, maybe they're right.
Yeah.
Maybe I will pull through this.
Yeah. Which is awesome, and it's wonderful that you have pulled through, obviously, and God does heal people miraculously and also through the power of modern medicine. It's wonderful. I'm also just thinking about people who have had such wonderful faith in God that God would heal and even, you know, Phil Camden says, look, God is an almighty God. I've got this terminal illness. If he wants to, he can heal me on the spot and I'll be fine. How do you, I guess, reconcile that with, you know, the sovereignty of God?
Well, I remember one night, it was actually Boxing Day evening in that year, 2008, and I thought that was my last night on earth. I was in ICU, I'd had contracted septicemia, and they'd put me in the little room off to the side of the ICU that's very private and very, you know, hidden because I think they didn't think I was going to make it through the night. And, you know, I was in that room and I remember very clearly that I spoke to the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't know if this is my last night. But the one thing I do know is that I love you. I just love the Lord. And that was the only thing that I could hold on to was the fact that I knew in my heart that this amazing, transforming God that gave me a chance in life, you know, when I was 25 years of age, gave me a brand new start. Regardless of the outcome, all I knew was that I just loved the Lord and I was okay with that.
Yeah, and you didn't get to go and meet him that night, but you can continue serving him here on earth. If you say God gave you a brand new start at the age of 25, he gave you a brand new start in this life when you recovered from the cancer and also when you had a heart attack not too long after that. So how many lives are you going to have? You're aiming for 9 or what?
Well, I think I'm pushing the limit. In 2012, actually it was 9/11, so I'll never forget that day.
Yeah.
I was having a great round of golf that was interrupted by a cardiac arrest.
Oh, they get in the way, don't they?
Oh, they do. I never finished the round. I got to the 17th hole, but I couldn't push through any further.
Oh, for goodness sake. And, get yourself to a hospital, Byron.
So they rushed me off to emergency and they put a stent in straight away and kept me in hospital for a few days, and it was 4 days later, and they were going to take me off the monitor, and the doctor, he said, look, does anybody else need it? And the nurse said, no, we're good. He said, I'll just leave it on another day. And those words, I'll never forget them, because that very next day I was sitting in my chair, and my heart just stopped, I just passed away. And the monitor registered out in reception, and of course it was a code blue in the hospital, and they ran the crash cart in. I mean, I wasn't there to see it, but they brought me back with the with the defibrillator, and so yeah, I don't know how many more I got left, but I certainly know significantly at that moment that God had saved me for a purpose.
Yeah,
I don't really understand what that purpose is. I just have an overwhelming knowledge that this last time my life was saved, that it was for something significant, and I'm excited about that. I don't know what it is just yet, but I'll know when it unfolds, and I know God's hand is on it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got you alive for a purpose, as he's got everyone alive for a purpose. If you're living and you're breathing, then he's got something that he wants you to achieve in this life.
That's right.
There have been some positives coming out of this major ordeal for you and your family and your church. Tell us about some of the great things that have actually happened, kind of as a result of this hardship.
I think you'll find that when you go through something that is life-threatening like that, everyone in your world all of a sudden starts to recognize, wait a minute, we are mortal.
Yeah.
And we start to see what is really valuable in life. And, all of the career aspirations or the bank balance or the whatever really goes out the window, and what becomes really valuable are the people that you do life with. And I know for Anne and I, we've been married, 35 years now. And, we've always had a great marriage, but we were closer in that time. It just draws you closer. My kids were closer. We were fighting a battle together and it welds you like nothing else. Our church grew, over 100 people without me being there. So it might have been a good church strategy, growth strategy. Our church family bonded together. We were all in the trenches, fighting for my life. And even though it was a tough season, there's so much good that came out of it. God turns it around for good.
Well, our time is up, unfortunately, this morning, but thank you so much for telling just a snippet of your story. I know there's many decades worth that we could have gone into, but thank you for sharing about your journey, particularly with the health concerns and how that's affected you. I trust it'll be a real insight and an encouragement to people listening this morning, especially people who are walking a similar journey themselves. Thank you for your time this morning.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
That was Shelley Scowen chatting with Pastors Byron and Anne Graham from the Gold Coast and finding out their incredible story of going through several health challenges and Byron having several brushes with death. But as we heard, God was with them through it all, working in their lives and helping them to overcome. As it says in the Bible, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It's from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Well, thanks for joining us for Byron and Anne's story. I'm Jimmy Colfax, encouraging you to share your story with someone today.
Next time on The Story.
We were just in bed one night going over all that had happened and I guess evaluating it, and God gave me a vision of a little girl. She looked to be about the age of 8 with long plaits in her hair running through a daisy field, and it was very, very clear. This little voice said to me, "Don't cry, Mummy, I'm not in pain." And even though we were broken and, you know, our dreams were shattered, we knew where she was, and the confidence in that is we know we'll see her again.
Wendy Cook had a dream that she would one day be the mother of 4 children. What she didn't know was that she would have 2 miscarriages. She shares the grief and heartache that she and her husband went through, but also tells her story of healing. Next time.
The Story. The Story. Just another way Vision is connecting faith to life. This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.